In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Many are surprised to find out that Christians are not always that nice, friendly, kind, or caring. They're often selfish, self-centered, and lazy. They ignore their children, their families fight, and they do not give to the local charity. They eat too much and drink too much and spend too much money on pointless things simply because they can. They too are often impolite, rude, or crude. No longer do they run hospitals, orphanages, or help the homeless. The state does that, so why should churches receive tax exemption, they wonder. They think Christianity is about good works. They think being a Christian means being nice and behaving and benefiting the community in some tangible way, and since they can do this without going to church, they see no need for Christianity in their own lives. In other words, they think Christianity is about man. Even Christians fall into this, Wells Lutherans included. Quite often we're told that we need to be more evangelical. And what that means is we need to be kind to people. Others will say about a pastor, he has a gospel heart, which means he's a nice guy. But the word evangelical is the Greek word for gospel. And we call ourselves Living Word Evangelical Lutheran Church. Not because we are nice, loving, kind, or caring, though certainly we strive to be. But because we are the church built on the forgiveness of sins that are found in Jesus Christ alone. That's evangelical. That's the gospel. A free gift for all. An eternal gift with no strings attached. Given by grace. Received through faith. No mention of good works, a friendly nature, or a caring attitude. Again, these things are good, but they are not the gospel. We are built on the gospel of Jesus Christ alone. So it does not surprise us to find out that our members are selfish, self-centered, lazy, that their families bicker and do not get along, that some have fallen away from the faith while others come sparingly, or that they abuse the various gifts of God. Yet many a Pharisee stands far off, and some even within the church, grumbling and complaining that Jesus eats with sinners, that the church is filled with sinners. Hypocrites. All because sinners sin. I suppose these same people would also be extremely shocked to find sick people at a hospital. No, it's not surprising to find sinners at church. But what is surprising is to find Jesus here. You've sinned against him yet again. Maybe not on the same level as King David or Saint Peter, but nevertheless, sin separates from God. And yet he comes to you once more with forgiveness. So to be a Christian is to be gathered by our Lord to himself, to rest in his presence, found in word and sacrament, to listen and to receive, to eat and to drink, to be forgiven, nourished, strengthened, and sustained. The sheep love to wander, but the shepherd patiently gathers sinners to himself. Does that mean we can go on sinning so that grace may increase? Of course not. May we never think or act that way. Jesus does not tolerate sin or accept people for who they are. He is a just judge, and he is angry with the wicked every day. He will stand at the last and will separate the sheep from the goats, and he will lock the wicked in hell forever. Sinners cannot remain in his presence. So do not mistake God's forgiveness for weakness, his patience for acceptance. For those who live as they please, who think they can do whatever they want just so long as they show up on church or show up to church on Sunday, they will find themselves on the wrong side on the day of judgment. For God wants all to repent. Repentance has two parts, contrition and faith. Contrition is terror over sin, and faith is trust in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. This is how Christians live, Yes, they fall into sin. That's not surprising. But they do not live in sin. When they become aware of their sin, they confess in heartfelt sorrow, and the angels rejoice. They sincerely desire to never commit that sin again, and the angels rejoice. Their hope and their trust is in Jesus' death, Jesus' forgiveness, Jesus' love for them, and the angels rejoice. They rejoice that you are a Christian, a forgiven sinner. They rejoice that Christ has gone out and searched for you once more and has carried you back to himself. The law has exposed your helpless, vulnerable, weak, and empty state, but only so that Christ might fill you. It showed you how alone you were, wandering in the wilderness without any means to sustain yourself, but only so that you might find your hope, your comfort, and your friend in Jesus. He goes back out into the night, into the cold, with enemies on all sides, to find you. He risks everything to retrieve you once more, to bring you back into the warmth and safety of his love. And the angels rejoice. Notice it's the sheep that wander. In other words, you're still a sheep. When you sin, you don't immediately lose your faith, though you are in danger of being destroyed by the devil. But you are still a sheep. Faith is still present. If you become comfortable in your sin, if you think that still overall you're a good person, or if you refuse to confess it as a sin, then the prowling devil attacks and devours. Resist him. How? By repentance. By confessing your sin and trusting in Christ. By turning away from your sin and living for God. So rise each morning in repentance. Live each day in repentance and lay your head down at night in repentance. Repentance defines a Christian because you are always confessing your sin, turning away from it where you find it, and always trusting in Christ for salvation. The Pharisee does not understand this. He cannot understand Christians living in repentance because he's blinded to his own sin, and so he's blinded to the grace of God. He thinks he's a good person, and so wants Christianity to be about good people. But the angels do not rejoice over Christian hospitals, charities, good works, but they rejoice over repentance. Though you have sinned, Christ remains the same. He doesn't scold you on the way home like your mother would, but he sings songs of joy that you are with him once more. He doesn't lecture you on a lesson learned like Dad would, but he rejoices that he has you right now. And if, God forbid, you happen to wander away again, he will set out for you once more. He will call sin, sin. He will show your weakness and accuse you, even as he scoops you up in his arms and sings a delightful melody in your ears. We would cut our losses. Bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, we say. But he leaves the 99 in the open field. He acts as if you are his most valuable treasure, as if you added something to him or made him complete in some way. He owns all things. And yet he has no greater joy than when you repent. So to the angels. They praise and glorify Christ for finding you yet again and bringing you back to himself. Their unending song is centered on his love for sinners and the forgiveness he so patiently gives you. So rather than being surprised that sinners sin, let us marvel that Jesus forgives sinners. Jesus sinners does receive. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.